Welcome to another episode of Focus Points, where we ask one simple question. What do we need to know in order to profit more from reading this book of the Bible? Let's look at another book of the Bible together so that we can better know our God and His Word. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is one of the most interesting, if not the most interesting, of all the epistles. I'm not saying that it's necessarily my favorite, or it should be your favorite, or it's the best one, but there are just some things about this epistle that make it stand out from the other epistles that are written. Well, what are some of those things? Well, first of all, we don't know who wrote the book. All right, some say it was Paul, others say Barnabas, others would say maybe it was even Luke. But the truth is, only God knows who actually wrote this epistle. And so that kind of sets it apart from the other ones where we know that Paul wrote it, or Peter, or James, or John. Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it. We also are a little unsure as far as who the recipients are. Apart from it being written to believers, which we know it was, we really don't know what location these believers were in. Some say it could be Spain, others Rome, others, you know, farther to the east and Israel and the Promised Land. But we don't know who this was written to or where they were when it was written. Now, as far as the general ethnicity of the group, many people claim that this is written to the Hebrews or the Jewish people. That's really based on the superscription of the book that was added in the second century. And it does kind of make sense that with as many Old Testament quotations and allusions that it would be written to Jews, although we'd have to recognize by the time this book was written, even a lot of the Gentile believers could have been saved for several decades and studied the word for themselves or been told it by their Jewish fellow believers, and they would also have a good understanding of the Old Testament too. So some say it was written to the Jews. Others say it was written to the priests who had converted, and that's why it talks so much about the priesthood. But in the end, when it comes to the recipients of this letter, it really doesn't matter as far as what the message is, all right? Because we don't know for sure who it was written to, but that doesn't change the message of what was written and how it ought to apply to my life and to your life today. So there's the unknown author, the unknown recipient that make the book interesting. There's also the fact that it relies heavily on the Old Testament. In fact, the book contains 35 quotes, 34 allusions, and 19 times where it's not a quote or an allusion, but the book is actually just summarizing some Old Testament story that happens. In addition to that, there's a lot of typology, where Hebrews points back and says, hey, have you considered Melchizedek? Have you considered the tabernacle? Have you considered the entire sacrificial system? All those things were types. They pointed ahead to what Jesus would ultimately do. And so the reliance on the Old Testament, the unknown recipients, unknown author, it makes it a very interesting book to go into. So what's the message of the book of Hebrews? Hebrews teaches us that we ought to live by faith because of Christ's person and work. Live by faith because of Christ's person and work. Who is Christ? How is he revealed in this book? Well, he's the Son. He's the one who embodies God's glory and represents his nature. He's the high priest. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the perfect sacrifice. And there's many other ways that he's described. And what does he do? Well, in just the first three verses, and there's a whole lot more that it says that he does later on, but the first three verses of Hebrews, it tells us how he reveals, he creates, he sustains all things, he redeems, he reigns. And this is our Christ, who he is and what he does, and all of this is given to us for the purpose of encouraging us to endure in our pursuit of Christ. We ought to live by faith because of who Christ is and what he's done, and don't start to falter. Don't go off the path, but endure. And you know, if there's this admonition to live the life of faith, that means at the same time there's the possibility that we won't go through life with the faith that we ought to. And so there are some dangers that are talked about throughout the book. And there's really three different types of dangers that Hebrews talks about. There's some subtle dangers, things that happen on the inside of us and how we are thinking and what we are feeling and what our heart is believing. And it might not immediately show on the outside, but it's a subtle danger. What are some of those? Chapter 2, verse 1 warns against failing to hold fast to the faithful teaching. This is what's true. We need to hang on to that. Chapter 4, verse 14, and chapter 10, verse 23 tell us that we need to hold fast to what we have professed. Chapter 5, verse 11, don't be dull of hearing. In other words, you can hear physically the word of God, but are you hearing spiritually what God is trying to tell you? Chapter 6, verse 12, we should not be lazy in our response to God's promises. God has given us things to hope in. We need to actively hope in those things. Chapter 12, verse 1, don't be weighed down by sin and distractions. Chapter 12, verse 3, don't grow weary and faint in your minds. All of these are subtle dangers where we could be falling prey to them. And on the outside, to other believers or to the world, it might look like we are doing fine. And then there's some more obvious dangers that would happen if we don't fight those subtle dangers. It kind of grows in its intensity. And that's when chapter 3, verse 12 warns us against unbelief. Unbelief will lead you to departing from the living God. What about chapter 10, verse 25? Don't forsake the church. There's this temptation that you are going to avoid God's plan for your life, which is an active participation in the local church. Chapter 12, verse 25, there's this refusing to hear God's instructions. One of those obvious dangers is not just that you're dull of hearing and you listen to it but don't obey it. It's that you aren't even putting yourself in the position to hear what God is trying to teach you. There's subtle dangers. There's obvious dangers that we face. But all those things are ultimately issues of us. It's our heart. But then there's the third category of dangers, external dangers. Things that are happening on the outside that are threatening us. Chapter 2, verse 18 talks about trials. 4, verse 16, there are general times of need in which we need to run to the throne of grace where Christ is there and he's willing to give us help. Chapter 10, verse 32 and following talks about times of afflictions that are coming and that the people were enduring. And so there's these outside pressures, there's these obvious dangers, there's these subtle dangers, and Hebrews is telling us, live by faith, endure and pursue Christ. And that leads us to the key verses that I would put as the key verses of Hebrews, and that's the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Which says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, because of the testimony that the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11 have given to us, they lived life by faith and they said it's worth it in the end. Based on that testimony, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Let's look at these dangers and say, I'm not going to be entrapped by them. And let us run the race with patience that is set before us. Let us endure in our pursuit of Christ, looking unto Jesus. In other words, we can live by faith because of what Jesus has done and who he is. We can endure in our pursuit of him. And so it's my prayer that as we as a church read through this book and as the Lord uses it to instruct us, that we would look at those dangers and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to fall prey to those dangers, the subtle ones, the obvious ones, and the external ones. Because you have called me to live a life of faith. May the Lord truly help us and encourage us and challenge us as we read through this book this year.